Today's daf is Baba Basra daf Lamed Beis. We are holding on the bottom of daf Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis, and we're in the middle of discussing the sugya of Zilusa de Beit Dina. Rav Nachman had told us that even though we had initially paskined a certain way, but if new evidence comes to light, there are new witnesses that come and tell us that there's a chazaka of that the fathers had in this karka. So it turns out that you have Edus HaKhasha, so Anan Achtinan, Anan Maskinan Lei, we're the ones that were machzik in the karka to the one who originally brought Edim, and therefore we're the ones that can decide to change that psak and allow the other person to go to the karka. Lizilusa de Beidina lo cheshinon. We're not worried about how that's going to look from a PR perspective for Beis Din, that it looks like Beis Din is flip-flopping on an issue. If new evidence comes to light, we have to pay attention to that evidence. So we're going to discuss whether that is something that Rav Nachman practiced halacha lemaisa, or was he rejected? Was there a brisa against him, and therefore he wouldn't pasken that way halacha lemaisa? So we're going to finish up the sugya of Zilusa de Beidina. Then we're going to talk about, in that context, while we're discussing the sugya of Zilusa de Beidina, what if you have two separate witnesses that did not come together to Beis Din? Can you combine the two individual witnesses and say that this is a kat of Shnei Edim? This is considered to be a set of witnesses, even though they don't come together. What exactly do the witnesses have to do together to be considered a single set of witnesses? Then the Gemara is going to have a couple of cases where there's a shtar that seems to prove whatever it needs to prove, but it's a shtar mezuyaf. Now, it can't be proved to be a shtar mezuyaf, it can't be proved to be a forged document, but the guy admits, look, it's a shtar mezuyaf, but I'm right anyway, meaning what it says is actually true, and I had a real shtar, and the real shtar I had, I lost. So does that at least create a migo? That migo that he could have just not said anything about this shtar, and he could have used this shtar as if it were good. So is he now allowed to use this shtar, even though we now know that it's a shtar mezuyaf, that it's in fact not a good shtar? And then on Amud Beis, about halfway down the page, Gemara is going to discuss if an Arev takes out a shtar, and that shtar has already been paid for. I mean, the Arev pays on behalf of someone, he's a co-signer, and he was called to pay, so he paid, and now he has a shtar that says that he's owed money, he should be reimbursed. The thing is, he's already been reimbursed, but he claims, yes, I've already been reimbursed, but you owe me more money, and I want to use this shtar to collect more money. So again, a very similar idea. The shtar itself, really worthless. The shtar itself has already been paid back, but no one knew that. It's only because the Arev admitted it that we know that the shtar is worthless. Do we say amigo in such a case, that amigo that he could have used this shtar, and he chose, and he could have, we, as far as we knew, this shtar was a shtar kasher, and he could have used it. So do we assume that we should believe him, that he's really owed other money, and that he should be able to collect? Those are the topics of today's daf. So let's begin again. We left off on daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. We had just gotten through how Rav Nachman had said, we're not choshesh for Zilusa de Beis Din. We're not concerned about anything that's going to look bad for Beis Din, about the what the PR for Beis Din is going to be when we change our psak. So Rava or Rabbi Zeira had asked him, Rav Nachman, how can you say that? Didn't we have a brisa that had said that if Shnayim Omer Meis, Shnayim Omer Lo Meis, you have two witnesses saying that a woman's husband died, two witnesses saying that he didn't die. So it's Edus HaChasha. Halach is she cannot get remarried. But if she does, Lo Teitze, that she does not have to get divorced. Whereas Rabbi Nachum Rabbi Yossi Omer, Teitze. Rabbi Nachum Rabbi Yossi says, if she gets remarried under those circumstances, absolutely she has to get divorced. But Rabbi Nachum Rabbi Yossi says, that's only if she got remarried illegally. If she got married legally, meaning there were two witnesses that came and said, her husband is dead. So we, and she, and everybody else trusted that those two witnesses were telling the truth. We had no reason to think otherwise. And she got remarried because there were two witnesses that said her husband is dead. After she gets remarried, two other witnesses come and say her husband's still alive, that her husband is not dead. So it's Edus HaKhasha now. So that Rabbi Nachum Rabbi Yossi says, in that case, I would say Lo Teitzei. In that case, I would say she gets to stay married. So from Rabbi Nachum, Rabbi Yossi, you see that that we're choshish lezulus de bedina, because even though normally when it's trey, he would say teitze, he would say you have to end the marriage, they have to get divorced. But when it's two witnesses and we paskin based on that and we allow her to get remarried and she got remarried based on that, and then the other two witnesses come, so even though new evidence came to light, we're choshish for zilus de bedina. That was the question on Rav Nachman. So what we concluded with yesterday was where Rav Nachman says, Amar Lei, Rav Nachman says to Rava or to Rabbi Zeiru, whoever asked this question on him, Ana Sabri Lemevedovda, initially I wanted to paskin like my initial psak that we shouldn't be worried about Zilus de Beidina. When new evidence comes to light, we have to reverse the psak. But hashta do siftan at. But now that you asked on me from a brisa, vos from Rav Hamnuna b'Surya, and Rav Hamnuna asked on me in Surya very similarly to what you asked on me. Lo avdina ba'uvda. I can no longer say that I can't do a maisa like this to be motzi karka from somebody after they've already been machzik. You've convinced me that we need to be choshesh for zilus de beidina. As much as I was saying before that we have to just do whatever the truth is and whatever wherever that leads us, I now see that I have to be choshesh for zilus de beidina. So says the Gemara. But then there's a P.S. to the story. Nafak, Rav Nachman went out, avad uvda, and he did a maisa, and he was motzi the karka to the person who originally he was the person who originally he gave the karka to, meaning he changed the psak based on new evidence that came to light. He was not choshesh for zilus de beidina. So man de chaza, whoever saw Rav Nachman act this way, savar to usubia, they assumed he just made a mistake. He must have forgotten the fact that there was a brisa against him and that he had admitted that there's a brisa against him. So he must have not realized that. Velohi, but it's not true. He remembered everything. He remembered every detail. El Mishum Detalia Ba'ashli Ravavi. Initially he was stunned by the brisa against him and he couldn't do anything about it. Then he realized that it's in fact a machlokas tanaim, and he has every right to paskin like some tanaim over the tana of this brisa. That as long as we're gonna show that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, all of them are not choshesh for zilus de beidina. So Rav Nachman has who to rely on to not be choshesh for zilus de beidina. So as long as he thought there was a brisa against him, he couldn't be arguing. Once he realized that, yeah, there's a brisa against me, but there's also a brisa for me, so he could be arguing. And this works with the basic premise that all of Shas works with, that a Tana, that an Amora doesn't argue with a Tana. It just happened to be by Rav Asher Weiss a couple of days ago, and he was discussing that inyan of how, why is it that an Amora is not allowed to argue with a Tana. It doesn't seem that there was ever any formal takana that an Amora can argue with Tana, that a Rishon can argue with an Amora. So the Kesef Mishnah in Hilchos Mamrim that suggests Kimu v'Kiblu. Everyone got together at a certain generation and they said, no more. We're no longer going to argue with the previous generation. So the way Rav Elchanan understands that is that that has the status of the Beis Din HaGadol. That when Kol Chachmei Yisrael get together, it's like the Beis Din HaGadol has made a takana that they're no longer going to argue on previous generations. Rav Shechter points out in the name of Soloveitchik, in the name of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, that a dafka happened at two specific generations where they decided we're no longer arguing. Dafka when from the generation between Tanaim and Amoraim, and Dafka between Amoraim and Rishonim. Why Dafka, those two generations of all the generations in history? So he points out that in general, when we learn Torah, we learn with a Mesorah, that it's very important that a person has a Rebbe to learn from who passes on a tradition that goes all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. And the closer we are to having the authentic experience of having Torah transmitted the way it was meant to be transmitted from Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, the greater the Balei HaMesorah are, meaning the role of a Balei HaMesorah is when he's functioning in a capacity that's similar to the way Moshe Rabbeinu had originally intended it. There were two times in history where there was a major shift in the way Torah was transmitted. After the days of the Tanaim, we now had Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi at the very end of the days of the Tanaim. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi put together formulated specific Mishnayos. He didn't write them down. That's a misconception. He formulated the Mishnayos that there's now a text of Mishnayos that everyone studies the same text as opposed to simply an oral tradition with information coming from all angles. So that was one major change in the way things were studied, that we now study this text And then, in the end of the days of the Amoraim, they actually wrote down the Mishnayos. Because during the days of the Amoraim, they were still learning the Mishnayos Baal Peh that Rebbe had formulated. At the end of the days of the Amoraim, they wrote down the Mishnayos. And that was a major change. They had to do it, but we were studying now from a written text. So with those changes, the level of the Balei HaMesorah was such a drastic drop that we could no longer argue on Balei HaMesorah that it's not just, you know, slightly greater like a regular Yerida Sadoros. They're working on a totally different playing field. They had a Mesorah that was so much more authentic. So that's why we find that Amorayim never really argue on Tanayim. Of course, you have Rav Tanu who Palig, you know, but some exceptions by everything. You have exceptions, you know, for some reason Achronim don't argue on Rishonim. Except for when they do, you have a lot of achronim that choose to argue on Rishonim. But that's how Rav Salvechik explained. So anyway, so Rav Nachman says it's not that I forgot the brisa. I remember the brisa that says that we should be choshish rizlus to the bedina. I just happen to think that it's a machlokas. Where is it a machlokas? Tanan, there's a Mishnah in the second parak of Ksubas. Rav Yehuda Omer ein malan lakuna al pi ed echad, that we cannot make a person be considered a kohen based on the testimony of one witness that says he's a kohen. And the Rashbam says, and therefore allow him to eat truma or bizman and beis hamikdash, allow him to do the avoda or allow him to be nosek kapayim. We cannot allow him to do all the kohen related things based on ed echad. Amar Rav Elazar, emasai b'makom sheyesh orvin. When does Rabbi Yehuda say that we cannot trust the ed echad? That's only if there are other edim that are saying that he's not a kohen. Al makom shein orvin. But if there's no one being ma'orer on his kuna, there's not being ma'arer on his kuna, there's no one claiming against his kuna. So mal lekun al pi ed echad. So why not? So then you could trust the one witness that he is a kohen. How do we typically know if someone's a kohen? Someone that you don't recognize walks into shul and the gabbai goes over and says kohen levi yisrael, and he says kohen. Okay, fine. You say you're a Kohen. So if there's no error, there's no one screaming behind him, no, he's not. So then you have a right to assume he could be Mal Lakuna al Pi Ed Echad. Mal Lakuna al Pi Ed Echad. That we are Mal Lakuna al Pi Ed Echad. So ask the Lord, Rav Shmuel Gamliel, Hen Rav Elazar. Rav Shmuel Gamliel didn't say anything different than Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar says that as long as there's no Orin, you could be Mal Lakuna al Pi Ed Echad. Rav Shmuel Gamliel says the same thing, that we're Mal Lakuna al Pi Ed Echad. And maybe you're going to say that the machlokas is if there's only one person that's ma'arer on the kuhuna, on this guy's kuhuna, does that error count as anything? Do we say that it's like Shnei Edim and we don't believe the Ed Echad to be Machshirim Lakuna? That Reb Lazar Savar Ir Echad, Reb Lazar holds that even one Ed who's Ma'arer on Lakuna, that's considered an error, and therefore an Ed Echad is no longer going to be believed to be Machshir. Machshir him, Rav Shmuel Gamliel Savar Ir Trei. Rav Shmuel Gamliel holds, no, you need Shnei Edim to be Ma'arer on his Kuhuna. That's an error, and once you have Ir Trei, then an Ed Echad is not going to be able to be Machshir. But if you only have one guy being ma'arer on his kuhuna, so good, you could still trust the Eid Echad to be machshirim. That must be the machlokas. V'am Rabbi Yochanan, divrei kol ein yirpachas mishnayim. Problem is, Rabbi Yochanan says that according to everybody, there's no error pachas mishnayim, that an error by definition always involves two people. Now, normally when we say divrei akol, it means that there was some machlokas that we're referring to. There was some machlokas about some related issue, and we're saying, forget that machlokas. That machlokas doesn't apply over here. That everyone agrees that error trei in error pachas mishnayim, that you always need to have two people to be ma'arer in order for it to mean anything. So it's not clear in the Gemara which machlokas Rabbi Yochanan is talking about. That's what the Rashbam points out, that it doesn't, we don't know of any such machlokas. Tosos shows that Rabbi Yochanan is saying this on the Mishnah, that Divrei HaKol means Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar, meaning the very Mishnah that we just quoted about being Mal Lakun al Pi Ed Echad. So we said, we were suggesting that they were having a machlokas whether Ir Echad or Ir Trei, how many people you need in order to create a question about this person's kuhuna. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying, no, that's not what they're arguing about. Divrei HaKol in Ir Pachas Mishnayim. Both Tanoim agree that you can't have an Ir Pachas Mishnayim. Ella iritre. Now the case of the Mishnah must be, the case of the Machlokas must be, that the question that arose about this person's kuhuna was two people came and questioned his kuhuna. V'hach mayaskina, and what's the Machlokas from Shimon Liad and Rav Lazar? Kigon de machaskinan le ba'avua dehai de kohenhu. We know about this guy's father, that his father was a kohen. V'nafak alei kala, but the son, there was a call that went out against the son, not a a call to Ben Grusha Ben Chalutzahu that he is a chalal. Now a kohen can do nothing to make himself a chalal. A kohen cannot be mechalal himself, but he does have the ability to be mechalal zara. So a kohen marries a grusha, he is very much kohen. There are many kohanim that believe that they can be mechalal themselves, and they say, you know, I want to marry a grusha, so I hereby am mechalal myself. I hereby renounce my kohuna. So there's no such thing. You can't renounce your kohuna. You can't even be mechalal yourself by doing bad things. He could marry every grusha in the world and every chalutz in the world. It's not going to make a difference. Grusha would be daraisa, chalutz would only be drabana. It's not going to make a difference. He's not mechalal himself, but he's mechalal his children. His children are chalalim. So since there was a call that went out that he's ben grusha ben chalutza, va'achtine, because of that call, they took him away from his kuhuna till they could clarify more, because this was something, a special chumra that we established by kuhuna, that just a call alone is enough to be murdered him from his kuhuna until we're able to be mevarer further. So va'asa eidechad, and then an eidechad came v'amr to kohen who and said that he's in fact a kosher kohen, that he's not a ben grusha ben chalutza. So va'askine. So because of that, they gave him back his kuhuna, because an eidechad is believed against the call. The only way we thought he wasn't a kohen is because there was a call. There was nothing more than a call. So an eidechad that testifies that I know that he's a kohen is enough to go against the kol. Now there is a sugya in Gittin Daf Pei Tes that says we're not mvatel a kol. Over there it's talking about a woman that had a kol shenis garsha, that there was a rumor that she was divorced. So we're not mvatel the kol in order to be masiya lakuna, in order to allow her to marry a kohen. But Tosus points out that there's a chilik between the two sugyas. By the isha there's a takana that she should be able to be married to someone who's, meaning she has another possibility, she has another option. She can always get married to someone who's not a kohen. But by this kohen, if we're not mevatel the kol, so his kuhuna is over. There's no takana l'kuhuna, so there's no solution to salvage his kuhuna in any way. And therefore, we're going to be more likely to be mevatel the kol when it's his very status as a kohen that's at stake. Also, Tos says there's another chilik. When it comes to achilas truma by a kohen, the chum were more makel to be mvatel kol for the sake of achilas truma, because it's only midrabanan. But a heter grusha le kohen, that's asur min haTorah, to allow a woman who might be a grusha to marry a kohen, so that we're dealing with an isur min haTorah, that we're not going to be makel. Those are Tos's two ways of reconciling our sugya with that sugya Maseches Gittin Daf Pei Tes. But bottom line is, what's going on over here? An eidechad came and said that he is a kohen, so we allowed him to be a kohen. Now va'asu be'treva amri de ben grusha v'chalutzi. That two witnesses come and say, no, he's a ben grusha ben chalutza. So v'achtine. Okay, now we have two witnesses against one witness, so the two witnesses have to be believed. We say he's a ben grusha ben chalutza, he's no longer a kohen. But the story doesn't end there. Va'asa eidechad v'amar de kohen hu. A second eidechad comes and says that he's a kohen. So if we're keeping score at home, what happened over here? We know that this guy's father is a kohen. A call goes out that he's a ben grusha ben chalutza. Eid echad comes and overpowers that call and says, no, he's kosher. Two eidim come, overpower the eid echad, say, no, he's not kosher, he's ben grusha ben chalutza. One other eid comes and says, yes, he is kosher. So now you have one plus one eidim saying that he is kosher. You have two eidim who came together saying he's not kosher. So the kuli alma mitzarfin eidus. Everyone must be assuming that when you have one eid plus one eid come and testify something, that we can mitzarf them together and it becomes an eidus achas. That and therefore what we essentially have is shnei kitei eidim amachishu zu azu. You have two sets of eidim that are contradicting each other. And min hadin, he should go back to his chazaka of being a kosher kohen, because that was the chazaka that he started with. So min hadin, that's what should really happen. But over here, we're arguing the machlokas is whether we're choshish for zelusa de beidina. Rav Lazar Savar, kivan da achtine. Once we already took him away from his kuhuna, lamaskinan le. We can't just give him back his kuhuna because we have to worry chayshinan lizilus de beidina. We have to worry about how that appears, how that makes beizin appear. Rav Shimon Gamliel savar ananachtinin anan maskinan le. Look, you know, we're the ones that did this in the first place. We're the ones that took away his kuhuna, so we're the ones that have to give him back his kuhuna lizilus de beidina lo chayshinan. We can't worry about the dignity of the beizin. We have to worry about what the truth is. So even though it's a suffix over here, it's not like new evidence came to light and now we know bivados that he's a kohen. It's a suffix. You have shtei kidedim hamachish zu azu. Yeah, but there are rules what to do b'makom suffix when you have the cheskas kashrus of the person, because we were muksak ba'aviv that he was a kohen. That's what the Rashbam points out. And also, we were machshir him originally through the Eid Echad, so that alone establishes a chazaka that he was a kohen. Now, there's a sugya in Kiddushin and Daf Samach Vav that discusses the pikpuk on the kashrus of Yanai HaMelech, and when they looked into it, they didn't find a makom for the psul. So the Gemara says, what exactly was the claim against the kashrus of Yanai HaMelech? So first, the Gemara wanted to say that there were shnei kitei edim. One kas of edim was meyid that his mother was a shvuya, and another kas of edim was meyid that his mother was not a shvuya. When a woman is a shvuya, it calls into question the whole yichus, because we don't know what the captors are going to do or had done to her. So the Gemara says, so why don't we say that we couldn't find any why does the Gemara say that we didn't find any makom for the psul? If there's a kas that's meyid that his mother is nishves, so then there's a legitimate suffix. So Rashi is quoted by Tosov here that according to the Gemara over here, even when you have shtei kidei machishu, we should absolutely be machshir. You have a cheskas kashrus, so we should be machshir yana because he has a cheskas kashrus that his woman that his mother was not nifsal. So why does the Gemara over there say that we pasul him misafek? Meaning lechora, it's against our Gemara. When you have shnei kidei dem machishu, we say that you go back to the cheskas kashrus. So the Tosos suggests, based on the Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Lamed Aleph, that min haTorah we're mamed a person on a chazaka, but midrabanan a tray is considered a suffek and is therefore asur. So the Gemara over there is saying, I understand that why we would possibly suffek, but still over here we're machshir kohen even midrabanan. So Tosos says that no, over here we're talking about by achilas truma, which is only midrabanan. So since the whole isser that we're discussing is only in isser midrabanan, we're not going to asr misafik. Meaning, at the end of the day, Tosos suggests when you have shnei edim versus shnei edim, what you really have is not, oh, we go back to the chazak and it's 100% okay. What you really have is a suffik, and therefore, if the issue at stake is an issue midrabanan, so we could be mekel. But if the issue at stake is an issue midaraisa, then we would not be mekel. Okay, but the bottom line at the end of the day, according to Reb Lazar, when he says, Amos ayin mal lukuna al piyerechad, when there's yeshel of orin, it means the second aid that came to be made on the kashrus of the kohen were not malin al piv because yatsu orin, because there were two aidim that had previously posled this kohen, and now we're not going to be makabel the second aid to kashur him to be mitstarifim with the first aid, because we're worried about Zilusa de Bedina. And Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees and says, no, I'm not worried about Zilusa de Bedina. So you want to know why Rav Nachman says, I'm not worried about Zilusa de Bedina? He's passing Rav Shimon Gamliel. It's true, there are Tanaim that go against him, but he's allowed to pass on Rav Shimon Gamliel. So then Gemara says, maybe that's not the correct shot in this Braisa, though. Ramaskef Laravashi, Ihachi, if Rav Lazar holds that we're not Machzul Lakuna because of Zilusa de Bedina, Mayir Yechad, Afil Betray Nami. Why does he have to say in the case where an Eid Echad comes at the end and says that he's kosher? Why do you have to make it back and forth and back and forth? Why don't you just say that two Eidim came and said that he wasn't kosher, and then two Eidim came and said that he is kosher? And still we should say the same Indian of Zilusa de Beidina. If the whole issue is about Zilusa de Beidina, why overcomplicate the case? Why one Eid and then two Eidim and then one Eid? Just two against two. That's the bottom line. That's what the whole case is about. So why don't we just record it that way? Elam Ravashi. Ravashi says, from the fact that we make it so complicated, and then we make it one eight saying that he's kosher, two that he's not, one more that he is, it must be that there's that what the real machlokas is about is combining the one plus the one. That to kuli alma lo cheshinu zilusa de beidina. No one's worried about zilusa de beidina, and therefore, if you had two people that were made besof about his kashrus, beizin would be machshir him for sure. They wouldn't be worried about zilusa debedina. Over here, the question is, can you be mitzarif in eid echad with another eid echad ubeplukta dani tanai? And they're arguing about the same machlokas that we have in the following brisa about being mitzarif eduyos. Titania, we have a brisa. Liolam ein edusa mitzarefes ad sheyiru shneim keechad. Two single edim cannot be mitzarif together until they see the maisa that they're being made about together. However, if each one saw the maisa separately, Reuven, the one witness came and said, Reuven lent money to Shimon in front of me. And the other witness came and he said, I don't see any loan, but I saw Shimon admit to Reuven that he owes him money. So you have two eid echads, both being made, that Shimon owes Reuven money, but they didn't see the same maisa. So we're not mitzarif such an eidus. Rabbi Shimon Kar Chomer, afilu b'zeachar zeh. Rabbi Shimon Kar Chomer says, yes, we are. We're mitzarif even if they didn't see the same maisa. One of them is made that on Sunday, Reuven lent Shimon money, and the other one is made that on Monday, he saw the halva. So they're not even being made on the same maisa halva, but they're both being made on the same chov. You could be mistari if they do yos together. And there's a machlokas in the brisa. If two edim see the same see a maisa together and they come to be made in Beis Din, the edus only works, bezin's only mekabel the edus, if they're made together. But if each of them is made separately, we're not mitzarif the edus. Rabbi Nasan Omer, shomen dvarav shel zahayom, shiyav chavir lemachar, shomen dvarav, that if one guy testifies today and the other guy testifies tomorrow, that's fine too. We could be mitzarif that edus as well. So that's the machlokas for Blazer Moshum Liel, that Rabbi Blazer holds, we're not mitzarif the edus of the second aid with the edus of the first aid, because they didn't come to testify together. So when he says Emasayin Mal Lukun Al Piyadechad, when there's Yeshal of Orin, it means if there's Shnei Edim that are made, that this guy is puzzle, so we're not going to be Mala Al Pi Shnei Edim that testify separately. You need Shnei Edim Acherim that testify together to be Mal Lukuna. Whereas Rishumuel says, no, you don't. You have Trey over here. You have the guy's original Chazaka that his father was a Kohen, and that's perfectly good. That's good enough. So at the end of the day, we have not successfully proven that there is in fact a machlokas tanaim about zilusa de bedina. At least at this point, we have not proven that there's a machlokas tanaim about zilusa de bedina. So Rav Nachman's shita is still somewhat curious. That Rav Nachman, after being shown a brisa that tells us that we are choshish for zilusa de bedina, for Rav Nachman to say no, but it's really a machlokas whether we're choshish for zilusa de bedina. Although on second thought, the way we're coming to the conclusion now, we're saying that everyone would agree really we're not choshish with zilusa debedina, so Rav Nachman would still have support, right? He would still be able to say this brisa supports me, but it supports me even better than I thought. He thought it was a machlokas, but the alternate way of explaining the machlokas is that if in fact two edim came after our original psak, yeah, we wouldn't be choshish with zilusa debedina. We would listen to them. We would listen to those edim. So it could turn out that both deos in this brisa in fact support Rav Nachman. Okay, now the Gemara is going to shift gears a little bit. Going back to Cheskas Karkos, which is what really this parak is about. So Udamle Lechavre, a guy says to his friend, my boy is Payaro, what are you doing in my property? Samalei says, Minach Zvinta Vahashtara. What do you mean, what am I doing in your property? I bought this property from you, and I have a shtar that says that I bought it from you, that says that it's my deed, that's a deed on this property. Samalei Shtar Zayfahu. The Ma'ara says to the Machzik, that's a shtar Mazuyath. And you don't have a chazaka, and you don't have a shtar mechira, because it's a shtar mezuyav, so give me back the property. Gachin, the machzik, the one who has the shtar, bends over to someone in lachish le rabba, and whispers to rabba in his ear, so that the ma'ara shouldn't hear, in shtar azayfahu. He's right, it is a forged document. Pretty good, no? It's a good forgery. It's a forged document. But mi ushtar ma'al yahav li v'irkas. I used to have a valid shtar, I lost it, so I replicated my old valid shtar. Va'amina in kitai biyadai koldahu. I figured better to have something in hand than to have nothing in hand, so I brought this shtar with me. So now what? Do we say that this person, because he could have easily fooled us, he has the shtar, it looks really good. So do we say that that creates a migo? The migo that he could have not admitted that this was a shtar mezuyif and just used this shtar, so now we should believe him? Or do we say, no, he can't believe him based on a shtar that's mezuyif? Rashbam quotes from Rabbeinu Chananel over here that you can't say that it was mezuyif mamish. It's just that it was written on a different mechira, as if it's mezuyif. It's what we call a shtar amana, meaning a shtar that you write before a mechira. If I decide to sell you this property at a certain on a certain date, so then you'll have this shtar at the ready. You'll be able to use it. Why would anyone ever write such shtar? Because you trust the guy. You trust that he's not going to abuse it. You trust that he's not going to use it unless it actually goes through. So that's what Yosef says. If it were an actual shtar mezuyif, then it would be a shtar pasul, as I didn't talk about. But since the shtar was written kedin and the edim signed on it, if the machzik were not moda that the shtar was mezuyif, the mocher would never be able to be believed to say that it was mezuyif, because the edim would be able to mekayim the shtar. Meaning it has to be a shtar that we know he could have used. So normally, you know, if you have a question that's brought up about a shtar, you have to be mekayim the shtar, you bring edim. If it was mamish mezuyif, then there's no thought of amigo over here, because he never would have been able to use the shtar. We would have called the edim into Beis Din, and they would have said, we never signed that shtar, and that would have been the end of the story. So that's what he quotes from Rabbeinu Chananel. Then the Rosh Rabbah says, even if you say that it was mezuyif mamish, you still need to say that he was mezayif the chasimus edim to the point that the edim would assume that it is their signature. Meaning it could be that it is a shtar mezuyif mamish. Aye, what about the kasha that how could you ever have a havamina to say that he could have gotten away with this? Wouldn't we need to be mekayim the shtar b'chosmav? Maybe it was such a good forgery, the edim would look at those signatures and say, yeah, I don't remember, but that's our signature, and they would be mekayim it. It was that good of a forgery. That's a second approach of the Rashbam. A third approach of the Rashbam is, even if the ziyuf was not so great, that Rabbi would still say he's neman with amigo, because he could have brought edei sheker to be made that they are those edim, and he still could have gotten away with it. So what exactly? That's three deos. What exactly? How exactly was he planning on getting away with this shtar? Is it that it was actually a kasher shtar? It was just a shtar aman. It was written b'kashrus, and therefore he could have easily been mekayim. That's Rabbeinu Chananel. Or is it that no, it wasn't a kasher shtar, but the forgery was so great he would have been able to fool the edim themselves into thinking that they are the ones that signed it, and that's why he would have been mekayim it? Or do we say no, it wasn't even such a good forgery, but just like he forged a shtar, he would have gotten edei sheker to come and be made, and that's enough for him to say that he could have used the shtar. So what do we do in this case? So I'm a rabbi. Rabbi says, Malo the shaker, Ibar Yamle, Shtar Mal Yehu. Well, he has a migo. He could have just said that this is a valid shtar, and therefore we can trust him. Amalei Rav Yosef, Amai Samachta Haishtar, Haishtar Chas B'Yalmahu. How could you rely on such a shtar? This shtar is a Chas B'Yalma. So it's a joke. So you can't trust this shtar. A little bit difficult to understand. The Rishonim are all bothered. You're not relying on the shtar. You're relying on his migo. That's not the same as relying on the shtar. So there are different approaches in the Rishonim. The Rashbam explains that this is different than other migos. In some way, you're going to have to distinguish between this and other migos, because Rav Yosef doesn't call every migo into question, meaning that the way Rav Yosef phrases the question, you could ask it on every migo in the world. How can you rely on this taina? This taina is not true. Yeah, that's what a migo is. That the taina is not true. Migo, he could have said a better taina that wouldn't be true, but would be a better taina. So the Rashbam suggests that it's different in the sense that by other places, the taina that he's taining now is not so the taina that he could have been towing. They could both be true. A person, for example, says that a shtar is perua. He's neman migo that he could have said that it's mezuyif. So both tainos could be true. Could be that it's mezuyif and it's perua. But over here, it's a migo makom edim, because now he's being moded this shtar is mezuyif. And odaz baldin is kamei edim. So since the whole koach of his taina relies on the shtar, and the shtar itself, his moda is not true, so now he has no koach b'chaskas hakarka. That is how the Rashbam understands. Other Rishonim understand differently. But bottom line is, you have a machlokas between Rabbah and Rav Yosef. Do we have a migo in this situation? A very similar situation where you would expect a similar machlokas. A guy says to his friend, Havli me'azuzi de masiknabach. Give me the $100 that you owe me. Vahashtara, and look, I have a shtar that says that you owe me $100. Amrlei, the Nitva says to the Tavea, Shtara Zaifahu. That star that you're showing me is Mezuyaf. That is not a valid star. Gachin Lachish Leila Rabba. So somehow Rabba ended up in the middle of all these cases. So the guy, the Bala Shtar, leans over and whispers to Rabba, In Shtara Zaifa, it's true, it is a Shtar Mezuyaf. Miu Shtar Ma'aliya Havali Vi'irkas. But I once had a really good star and I lost it. So Va'amina Inkintai Biyadai Kaldru. I figure I might as well have something in hand. So I took this star with me to sort of make my point. Well, he has the Migo. He could have claimed that it was a good star, and we never would have caught him. We never would have been able to do anything about it, so we should believe him. How can you rely on this star? This star is a chasma bialma. This star is a piece of garbage. You'd expect the halacha to be the same in both cases because it's mamish, the same machlokas. So Gemara says, no, it depends. When it comes to the first story where it was an iror on karka, so the halacha is like Rabba, let the guy who's muchsak in the karka keep the karka. But when it's a case of Rav Yosef bezuzei, when it comes to money, I'm sorry, the halacha is like Rav Yosef in the second case, when it comes to money. He wants to use that shtar to get money away from the other guy. The halacha is like Rav Yosef, that we don't believe him after the guy was molded, that it was a shtar mezuyaf. Hilchasa Rabba ba'ara, the reason we pass on like Rabba when it comes to land, dehecha dekai ma'ara tekum, we leave the land in the yad of the machzik. Hilchasa kavas is Rav Yosef bezuzei, we pass on Rav Yosef when it comes to the money, dehecha dekai mezuzei lukmei, so that the money will stay in the hands of he who is machzik in it. So we don't know, essentially what the Gemara is saying is, we don't know how to paskin. We don't know if we should paskin like Rabba or we should paskin like Rav Yosef. So leave everything b'cheskaso. Hamotzi mechavero, alav haraya. That's ultimately what we do when we have a safek in dine mamunus. We're not sure how to paskin. So leave the karka b'cheskas hamachzik and leave the money in the hands of the lova who's currently machzik in them. That's how the Rashbam understands. And with that, Rashbam is miyashev. How it could be we paskin like Rav Yosef and not like Rabba, even though we have a klal that Allah is like Rabba, except for in three places that we're going to see later on. But over here, we're not paskining like Rav Yosef. We're saying that it's a suffix. We're not sure. So it's the rule is still intact that we always paskin. We never paskin against Rabba, except for those three places. But over here, it's not paskining against Rabba. So Tosus raises the question that if this were the case, we should paskin the halacha by karka that it goes back to the original owners. Because in Ksubas and Daf Chaf, we say if you have shtei kitei edim and mechishu zu legabe karka, whether it was sold or wasn't sold, so we're mamad the karka and the cheskas bailam arishonim. The following chazak of karka is not who's there right now, it's who is the last known owner of this property. So Tosus says maybe we could be mechalik. By shnei kitei edim and mechishu zu, it's as if they don't exist at all, and it's as if there's no testimony at all whether there was a mechir or not, and that's why it goes back to the bailam arishonim, because there's the machzik has no sad to be machzik in it. But over here, it's a suffix whether Allah is like Rabbi or Rabbi Yosef, so we're not going to be motzi miyada machzik. Tos has to make some dakas tikachilik to distinguish between our case and the case of Meseches Ksubas on Daf Chaf. So anyway, so that is what we do in this case, because we're not sure whether we should trust this migo or not. Hu Arva, there was a guy who was a co-signer on a loan. Damle Lova, he says to the Lova, Havli Me'azuzi, Deprati L'milva Lovech, I paid back your loan for you, so I would like you to reimburse me. V'hashtara, and here's a shtar that I was mekabel from the Malva after I paid back the Chov. Amale Lav Paratich, so the Lova says, what are you talking about? I already paid you back. Amar, he says, you're right. Lav Adata Shekilta, but then you borrowed money again from me. Yeah, you paid me back, you borrowed money again from me. So again, you have a very similar situation. He's molded that it was already paid back, but he's claiming that he's owed the money anyway. So Shalch Ravidi Barav and Kamid Abai, Ki Agav Nemai. What's the halacha in this case? Shalch Abai, Abai sent back, Mighty Baile. Why do you have a suffix? Ha'iyu da Amar. You paskin yourself. Hilchsa Kavase de Rabba Ba'ara. Hilchsa Kavase de Rav Yosef Bezuzei. And you gave the explanation, Dehech Dukmi Zuzi Lukmo, that you always just follow the Chazaka. So be here also. Keep the money, Biyara Muchsa. And that's the lova, because this shtar is already nimchal, the shibur on the shtar is already nimchal, and the malva doesn't have the ability to collect based on such a shtar. So the Gemara explains, the hanimili damalei adarta uz betinu minai. That's only if this shtar is already nimchal. And he says, what happened was, yeah, you paid me back for this shtar, but then you borrowed different money from me again. There was a separate deal. But if the Arif claims, you tried to pay me back, but I gave you all that money back because the money that you gave me was all messed up. There was problems with the actual coins that you gave me, so I don't view that as payment. So it's not that there was a separate deal. It's that I never accepted the payment because there was a problem with the payment. So then the Shibur on the Shtar still exists, and he is in fact able to collect with this Shtar. Okay, but Hashem, tomorrow we'll begin with another Maisa relating to Amiga.